information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
204 Super Talk 99.7 WTN Dan Mandis Show. Well, I don't know about you, but it feels like the air has been let out of the balloons for a whole bunch of people who are big-time Trump critics. Listen to this.
Reassuring them that there were personnel changes, no immediate personnel changes at this time, and that people shouldn't be concerned. We should do exactly what we do every day, and that's come to work and do the very best job that we can. And that's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what we're focused on.
Yeah, that is Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And apparently there will be no personnel changes within the Trump administration right now. And apparently John Kelly and President Trump, they have made nice, at least for now, according to The Wall Street Journal. I do believe that. I don't think that John Kelly deserved to be fired. I do believe that VA Secretary David Shulkin should have been fired, and he should be replaced by Rick Perry. But we'll have to see what happens. Some of the other things that are happening in the news right now: Miami Bridge collapse, trying to figure out exactly what happened. Now, we know that at least I think the number of dead now is up to six, and it was four. Now it's up to six. And here's what was happening at the time that this bridge collapsed. Cars are literally waiting for the lights to change when this 950-ton, quote-unquote, instant bridge, which was installed in just 6 hours on Saturday, fell below and crushing all of those cars and killing those people. Now, they're trying to figure out exactly why the collapse happened, but Senator Marco Rubio is tweeting out that apparently steel cables supporting the bridge were being tightened when the bridge came down. He says the cables that suspend the Miami Bridge had loosened, and the engineering firm had ordered that these cables be tightened, and they were being tightened when the bridge collapsed. Now, think about that. Think about the fact that they're tightening these cables because they'd become loose. Wouldn't you think, and I don't know, this is just me talking, I'm not a highfalutin engineer, but you would think that if they're doing anything to adjust this quote-unquote instant bridge, that they would close the road underneath said bridge. One Berkeley engineer, Robert B., and catastrophic risk expert, telling the Miami Herald that this process now has caused bridges to collapse before, pointing to a bridge in Australia that was destroyed in the 1970s when the steel buckled as it was also being adjusted. So they've had examples of these steel poles or ropes or whatever it is, these cables, as they're being tightened, there are examples that when they're adjusted, they collapse. So why wouldn't they close the road? The 174-foot instant bridge, hailed, by the way, as a feat of engineering and safety, was installed on Saturday morning, but was not due to open to the public until 2019. This thing cost $14.2 million, and it was designed to withstand a Category 5 hurricane and built to last 100 years, but apparently not able to withstand having their cables tightened, it would appear. It was constructed using a building method known as, quote, accelerated bridge construction, which apparently Florida International University teaches, though its engineers were not involved in this project. Now, this technique involves apparently supporting columns being constructed at either side of the highway and the span being built at the roadside before it is lifted into place in a matter of hours. Now, we're hearing a lot about these companies that built this particular bridge. And the more that I hear about these companies, the more horrific it sounds. Listen to this. The two companies, the largest construction firms involved in the building of this pedestrian bridge that collapsed, have a history of serious safety breaches. Now, when I tell you this story, you're going to ask the same thing that I ask, and you're going to be asking the same questions that a lot of people are asking, and that is, how in the world did Manila Construction Management and Fig Bridge Group possibly get the contract to build this bridge? Because these companies both have been accused of shoddy work in the past after incidents in which they were each accused of being responsible for other bridges that have collapsed. A 90-ton portion of the South Norfolk Jordan Bridge assembled by FIG collapsed during construction as recently as 2012. It dropped 40 feet to the ground onto railroad tracks below. According to the Virginian Pilot, four people were injured. Authorities called it pure luck that no one else was killed. In another incident, a temporary walkway built a bridge built by Manila collapsed under a Transportation Security Administrator's weight in 2016, severely injuring him. I mean, this guy, this TSA administrator, he's literally just walking along this bridge and the damn thing collapses under him. And he plummets down below. Guy's name is Jose Perez, a TSA worker, was walking along this temporary walkway that airport workers would utilize to reach restrooms at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport when it literally broke out from under his weight and sent him falling to the ground. This poor guy had a whole bunch of broken bones and damage to his spine, and the investigation led to their shoddy work. I mean, this is all when you're doling out contracts and certainly contracts to build a $14.2 million bridge. Don't they look at the history of these companies? Manila was also cited by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration for at least three serious violations from 2014 to 2017. However, more information on those violations is yet to become available online. So there is a lot that is going to be looked at regarding how these companies got these contracts. They say that the previous FIG incident appears hauntingly similar in scope to the incident that happened yesterday. They were fined $28,000 by the Virginia Department of Labor and Industry after finding the company violated a whole bunch of safety rules. The serious violations uncovered include workers not properly trained, modifications made to equipment without permission, and more than 440 inspections missed or undocumented. Come on. But the other part of this, and I just for whatever reason can't get over this, is, you know, when you least expect death. I mean, these people, as I said in the last hour, these folks that are sitting in this car and they are simply waiting for a red light when the bridge collapses on top of their car. And they're killed. I'm assuming they're killed instantly. I mean, if you're under a 950 tons of, you know, rubble, then you're killed instantly. But there's another story out there today, and I can't believe that this is still going on, but unfortunately it is. And it's the story of a driver in Los Angeles area. And how many times have we heard this story before? He's driving along the 134 freeway, and guess what happens? A boulder is thrown from an overpass yet again. So how many times, I got to ask, how many times are we going to hear these stories of stupid people throwing 35-pound rocks or boulders over overpasses and killing people below? Guy's name is Christopher Lopez. He's 23 years old, was 23 years old, Pasadena, California, is where this happened. His 21-year-old wife was behind the wheel, rushed him to the hospital, but he could not be saved. He's in the passenger seat. They're driving through Pasadena, 134 freeway, and this 35-pound boulder is hurled from the overpass, crashes down on the car, and he's killed. Now, we've seen this over and over again. We've seen this in Ohio. Good Lord, we've seen this here in Tennessee a number of different times. And it is stunning. A couple of things, just you take away from all of these various stories we're talking about is, one, you never know when something horrific is going to happen to you. And I always go back sometimes to the same point, which is whenever there are stories about people who don't see the end coming, where life is just taken from you in an instant. And I always think back to the stories that I've seen where, and I've talked about this before, where somebody, you know that they're dying. And so everybody on their last day or two on Earth, everybody starts rushing to the bedside of the person that's dying. And oftentimes you haven't spoken to these people in years, but once they're dying, they're going to let bygones be bygones. And let's all make up in the last 24 hours. Or in some cases, the last hours of a person's life. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. What a complete, absolute waste of time. And so sometimes I'll read these stories and I'll think back to people that, you know, say, for example, that I've known that I got into a spat with for whatever reason years ago. And maybe at one point they were treasured friends. But because of some sort of thing that happened, we don't speak anymore. And doggone it, that person and I were engaged in this battle, and we're just not going to have anything to do with each other because we're just pissed. Now, I've spoken often here on WTN about my liberal friend that I really don't speak to anymore. And the reason why we don't speak anymore is because he and I have had very serious, and when I say serious, I mean really serious arguments about the direction of our country. And what really happened is it was the election of President Trump where he and I just completely disconnected. Somehow we got through 8 years of Obama. And I would say that I have been friends with this person since I was 18 years old. And he's a little bit younger than me. And so from 18 to I'm 50 now, that's how long we've known each other. And so he and I told you this story way back when. He basically called me racist for voting for President Trump. And it was one of those things that I just could not get past. And so it's one of those, it's these kinds of stories that make me think about my liberal friend who I haven't spoken with in quite some time because of that. But I think, you know, if I died today, would I look back on some of these relationships as I'm heading up to heaven, hopefully, and think, you know, I probably should have reached out. I probably maybe should not have been as sensitive when somebody, you know, basically called me a deplorable racist for voting for President Trump. Maybe I should have taken the high road, for example. Maybe I very simply should have turned the other cheek and been able to continue on with that relationship, but doggone it, because I was really pissed and I was really angry. And this was the last straw. I let a very good relationship go by the wayside. And I think we all have those kinds of relationships. So when we talk about the sanctity of life, and when we talk about the sanctity of the relationships of the people in our lives, and we think about how quickly the end can come, whether it's waiting for a red light as a bridge is collapsing over us, or a boulder thrown from an overpass that takes our lives, or some sort of a horrific shooting in a school or a mall or wherever, as we've covered often enough here. If you don't hear these stories and you don't think to yourself, man, the end can come so incredibly quickly, and then you don't think, maybe there's some relationships that I need to repair because, frankly, these are relationships that have a lot of value to me, regardless as to how angry that I am. Maybe you do need to think about that. Because oftentimes those relationships, we always think, you know, I'll call that person tomorrow. I'll call that person the next day. I'll call that person next week. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend like me, or maybe it's a friend or whoever, distant family member, colleague, you name it. Doesn't matter. It's a relationship that at one point was important to you that is probably still important to you, but you're so angry that you can't get past it, but you've been meaning to call. Well, sometimes when the end happens, we don't necessarily know that it's coming. I mean, I know we all want to have those moments in our lives. Maybe it's the final moments of our lives where we know it's coming, where we've been diagnosed with some sort of horrific whatever, it's cancer, whatever it is, but we have time for closure. These people didn't have time for that closure. And to me, that's why we need to be open to reestablishing those relationships that, unfortunately, for a lot of us, we let go by the wayside just because we're angry. It's 219 on WTN. Could Colin Kaepernick be headed to Houston, Texas? Maybe. Now, you remember the story we had a while back. It was how the Houston Texans, they were being blasted on social media because there was a report claiming that they would not be signing any players who knelt during the national anthem. Well, apparently now this week, I guess, is when free agency happens in football. And so now there is a report that, and what I would say is this is a huge overcorrection. And we all know Colin Kaepernick, right? He was the guy that led the charge on the whole kneeling movement in the NFL. So I don't know if the Texans are trying to way overcorrect or try and really make it seem like, listen, no, there was never any policy inside of our organization that dictated that we would not be signing any players who knelt during the national anthem. So now the word is that they could be going after Colin Kaepernick because of the fact that he has been spotted working out in Houston on Thursday, yesterday. Video show Kaepernick practicing drills typical for quarterback workouts, suggesting he is either getting ready for a tryout, having a private workout, or just trying to stay sharp. They say that he has not played in the NFL since the 2016 season, at which time he played, as we all know, for the San Francisco 49ers. So it'll be very interesting to see if this is the moment in time where Colin Kaepernick finally is able to make his way back to the NFL. I think that for the NFL, the Super Bowl, it was a great Super Bowl. And also, as far as I remember, no players knelt for the national anthem during the Super Bowl. It felt, at least for me, almost like a reset. Now, you know that I didn't take part in any boycotts, but I certainly did not like what the players did, and I essentially lost interest in the NFL for most of the season last year. So the big question is, during free agency, will these free agents who knelt during the national anthem, will they be able to sign on with other teams, or are they going to be left by the wayside? We know what happened with Colin Kaepernick. There's people that say that he has been left by the wayside because of the whole kneeling movement that he started. But there's others that say, well, no, this guy is simply too old and he's too broken and he doesn't have the skills to be an NFL quarterback. Time will tell. 221. You know, there's almost, you know, for me, I almost hope that Colin Kaepernick gets signed. Because I think that once and for all, he needs to prove as to, and by the way, I'm a free market guy. If there's a team that thinks that Kaepernick can help their team, then by all means, sign the guy. But for me, I hope he gets signed just so everybody will shut up and we'll just figure out whether or not this guy is still a good NFL quarterback. 222 now on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. 227 Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Manda Show. Hello, hello. 615-737-WWTN. You know, this just ruined my Friday. So apparently now, and I told you this story of this couple. They are undocumented immigrants, and they were fleeing ICE when they crashed their car, and they were killed. They were killed fleeing ICE. Now, you got a lot of these folks that are blaming ICE for this. It's like, no, they were fleeing ICE.
Wait, back up. I just brought you that story. Are you saying I ruined your Friday?
Yes, you did. I was going to talk about puppy dogs and cotton candy the rest of the damn show.
Sorry, folks. My apologies.
Because, you know, the first segment here in the radio program was, you know, I was talking about people dying and all this kind of stuff. I wanted to have something a little happier. Well, I guess for some people this is happy. A GoFundMe campaign has now been launched to raise $40,000 for the six children of the couple who were killed when their car crashed in Delano, California, while trying to flee from immigration agents. Now, this is the story that I told you about yesterday. You had these folks, and they were pulled over by ICE, and so they realized it was ICE, and then they decided to hit the gas, and they sped away, and they're trying to speed away from ICE, and they ended up smashing into a pole, and they were killed. So now a whole bunch of people are, I guess, donating money for the six kids that have been left here in America in the wake of their death. Now, we'll have to see how much money is raised, but there is also, just so you know, there is also a GoFundMe account that has been set up for the guy, and I was telling you about him in the last segment, the guy who was killed in Pasadena riding along the in the passenger seat of the car when that boulder was dropped from a freeway overpass. Again, that was in the last segment. There has been a GoFundMe account that has been set up for him and his family as well, because he has a daughter that's like a year and a half old. So let me ask you a question. whose GoFundMe account do you think is going to raise more money? The guy who was here in America, an American citizen who gets killed when a boulder is purposely dropped from an overpass in California and he leaves behind a family, or the six kids of this couple that were killed after they were purposely driving erratically while fleeing the immigration authorities. I would be willing to bet money that more people will donate to the kids of this illegal couple that were fleeing ICE, only because of the fact that it's all about, you know, social justice and all this other kind of stuff. Although I will also say that you have a lot of folks here in America who do have good hearts either way. And so I would say that for the kids of these illegal immigrants here in California, or there in California, not here in California, but there in California, people's hearts ultimately are in the right place. I guess ultimately the question is, though, will anybody bring up the fact that the reason why these two kids are orphaned is because they were fleeing ICE agents? And we all know the story of California. By the way, I do have some new news coming from California and the war on illegal immigration. That story and a whole lot more straight ahead on WTN. 235 Super Talk 99.7 WTN, Dan Manda Show, 615-737-9986, 615-737. WWTN, well, we heard this week from the Tennessean. Diane Black has missed the most votes in 2018 among Tennessee's congressional delegation. Now, of course, we all know that she is trying to run for governor. Well, she is running for governor. She's trying to be our governor, but what they're saying is that she has missed a ton of votes. Now, one of the things that we always need to talk about, and when people want a promotion, like a work or whatever it is, you have to look at their record. You have to look at how good of a job they've done. Well, apparently she has missed a lot of votes. Here's how the story goes in the Tennessean. With her latest gubernatorial campaign ad, U.S. Representative Diane Black is calling attention to human trafficking. And she says that she'll do anything she can do or needs to do to stop human trafficking using, quote, every law in the book. But here's where the 1-2 punch comes in. The Tennessean points out we need new tools, she said, to prosecute the traffickers and their customers, Black says in the ad. But 1 week before the ad was released, Black was one of 17 members of Congress to not vote on a bill that would allow state attorneys general and victims to sue websites that help facilitate sex trafficking. On February 27th, the House voted 388-25 in favor of the measure. When the chamber approved the bill around 6 o'clock, Black was nowhere to be found. That day, she was back home in Tennessee, appearing at a national religious broadcasters meeting, again, here in Nashville, alongside VP Mike Pence. Now, while I don't feel like there's any good excuse to miss a vote like this, clearly she knew that this thing was going to pass. So she didn't more than likely feel like it was necessary for her to be there in Washington, D.C., taking part in the vote. But the Tennessean then goes on to say that Black's absence on the human trafficking bill is hardly isolated. This year, the Gallatin Republican has missed 29 of 101 total votes the chamber has taken, according to the nonpartisan site govtrack.us. What's more, since Black launched her gubernatorial campaign in August, she has missed more than 50 votes. Now, some of these are very important. The votes that Black missed this year include several measures, including some on legislative motions. They also include a bill that would allow power plants turning coal waste into energy to be exempt from federal air quality standards. Another one, the Mortgage Choice Act of 2017, which would change the Truth in Lending Act, a law designed to protect customers from inaccurate and unfair credit billing and credit card practices. Now, as somebody who's had to deal with that kind of stuff, because my identity has been stolen, I can't tell you how many times, that's an important piece of legislation. Another one, a bill that seeks to encourage cybersecurity collaboration between the United States and the Ukraine. It goes on and on. But, you know, some of these things are very important. But I've always mentioned this, you know, and I don't want to go and talk about this for the entire segment. But what I would say is that when our elected officials are sent to Washington to do a job, and then they decide that they want to have more of an impact on life here in Tennessee, for example, but then they start ignoring what we sent them to Washington to do in the first place, to me, I think that is, quite frankly, a major red flag. So we'll have to see what the reaction is of the Black campaign, as the Tennessean has now pretty much called her out for missing a whole bunch of votes here in 2018. I saw this story. I thought this was interesting. You know, everybody likes to obsess over millennials. This is just plain weird. Millennials are replacing engagement rings with diamonds embedded in their fingers. Can you imagine that? So instead of having a ring, they're just having diamonds basically bolted onto their finger. That's just weird to me.
It's a form of piercing. The ring is still there, but instead of going over your skin, it goes under it.
Really?
It's the stupidest thing in the world. You know, if you ever, you've been married, you've worn a wedding ring, you've caught your wedding ring on something in the past and been like, oh man, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine doing that if the damn thing's going under your skin?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get this at all. Apparently, some millennials are ditching the usual engagement ring and instead piercing their ring fingers. Now, I wonder, I wonder if that is, if there's a reason for that. Like, in other words, what statement are they trying to make by having their fingers pierced as opposed to simply having a ring that you can,
I think the
for whatever reason,
is,
take on and off?
I am stupid.
Is that what it is?
And that's coming from somebody with a nose ring and six earrings.
One millennial says, I think it looks nice, but if you really think about what it's doing to the body and you can have scarring, it's so many complications that can happen from it. I think part of this is probably because we know that millennials are very much into the decoration of their body, whether it's tattoos, whether it's piercings, you name it, millennials like to do it. So maybe this is a part of what they like to do. Now, I guess what they do, a piercing artist, according to CBS, a piercing artist will mark the spot with a pen, clean it then with alcohol and iodine, use a tool to remove a small patch of skin, and then insert an anchor made of titanium or gold, which holds the gem. And the whole process takes like 10 minutes and costs about $100 for the piercing. You know what I wonder, though? You know, you look at some of these wedding rings, and they've got a lot more than one diamond. I mean, they've got, I mean, you can have, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 diamonds, I think, on an engagement ring, right? I mean, and on a wedding ring, you can have
as many as you want to put on there.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, if you're a guy and you're going to marry a millennial and you say, okay, why don't you have one diamond put in, embedded into your finger? It's almost like you're getting off easy, right? Anyway, they do say that there is a big danger of the diamonds snagging. I find this really interesting. Now, you've got tattoos, I think, don't you, Belle?
Yes.
So there was a story way back when about something that people are doing now. When people with tattoos die, you know what they're doing is they're taking...
I know exactly where you're going.
Yeah, they're taking slabs of skin from the corpse, and then they're making like a little, I don't know, what would you call it? They're putting it onto like a mantle or maybe a shadow box or something. You know, it's like...
They're preserving it in some weird, odd fashion, like, I don't know, tanning leather or something?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so you walk into somebody's house and they've got like a little shadow box from like a Hobby Lobby or something. And they've got, oh, that's interesting. What a fascinating design.
What is that? That's mom's back tattoo.
That's mom's tramp stamp from when she was 18. No, I'm just kidding. Is that wrong to say? I mean, that's common vernacular,
yeah,
right?
Am
I going to get, you know, hashtag me too'd all over social media for saying
lower
that?
Back tattoo is considered a tramp stamp.
Which I don't know why that is, but, you know, why do they call that a tramp stamp anyway? I have no idea. You have any idea why they actually call it? Because that doesn't, just because you have
it's a
tattoo on your lower backside doesn't make you a tramp, does it? I don't think it does.
No, not at all. But the assertion is that more often than not, if you have one of those, you are a tramp, but you don't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily make you one.
No, of course. By the way, I don't know if you saw, Belle, the story on the Dan Mandy Show Facebook page. People have been reacting to it all day. I have a story up an 18-year-old has now decided that she has a baby alter ego to deal with her incessant depression. Now, you've got to go see the video. It's funny as all get out. I tried to play the audio, but it's just bad audio. But she's 18 years old. She is, I guess, chronically depressed. And so now what she's decided to do, and she is in Southern Oregon, and not surprisingly, she lives with her mom, is she engages in something called age play, which apparently is some sort of an, I don't know how I've managed to avoid this all this time in my 50 years. Apparently, age play is some sort of an erotic practice in which she fully dresses and acts like a baby, 18 years old. Now, what she does is I'm telling you what, folks, she puts herself in a diaper. She's got a pacifier in her mouth and everything else. She's actually sitting in a crib. If you go see the story on the Facebook page, she dresses in onesies. She watches cartoons. She throws temper tantrums and babbles in baby speak as she acts out in an infantile alter ego. Now, I guess apparently now she's got 2,000 plus followers on Instagram. This is why I will never really understand social media. Why would anybody want to follow somebody like this on Instagram?
Sebastian Maniscalco, the comedian, has a bit about people like that and how, you know, 40 years ago, if you did that and you walked out into your front yard just wearing a diaper and you're an adult, that would have been justification to have you locked up. And now if you do it, you just join a Facebook group.
That's exactly right. And you get 2,000 Instagram followers. Now, she actually works at a fast food restaurant. She dresses up in her spare time, claiming she was sexually abused as a little girl and she never had a childhood. And so now at the age of 18, she's decided now to go back and become the baby she apparently never was. She's battled depression, anxiety, an eating disorder, and she says that regressing to infancy is soothing and allows her to reclaim her younger years. Now, not surprising, she does not have a boyfriend or quote-unquote daddy currently, but she does have a babysitter who occasionally plays the role of a... This is getting weird. Remember yesterday when I kind of wandered into that whole story about the sorority and all of the sexual things that the sorority was trying to make their pledges do? I'm suddenly having one of those moments again. Apparently, Tori does indeed have an occasional babysitter who plays the role of the parent, changing her diaper and bossing her around. I tell you what, the more that I read about some of these weird people, the more I think that I'm just so incredibly normal. And people I know are normal. What would you do if you met somebody like this on Tinder? This is why I stay off of these kinds of dating sites, because I know that this is with my luck, this would be the kind of person that I would end up with on a dating site. Apparently now the babysitter doles out punishments like making her write lines or sit in the corner, as well as rewarding her with treats such as sweets or trips to the movies. Oh, there's so many jokes here. There is just so many jokes. I mean, if you go to the Facebook page and you see, this girl actually has a pacifier in her mouth. She says that she usually behaves like a 3-year-old, which makes her classified within the community as a little. I guess there's a community of people that do this. I don't know. I mean, I stay away from this kind of stuff. But did you know, Belle, there's a community of people that like to act like small toddlers and babies?
Yeah, I discovered this entire thing via an episode of CSI.
Okay.
And it was pretty disturbing. But even in that episode, the guy was nice enough to hide his little nursery in his house where you had to, like, it had to be discovered. It wasn't just out. He wasn't on a Facebook group.
They're called Adult Baby Diaper Lovers, or ABDL. And Daddy Dom Little Girl, DDLG, a sometimes erotic practice linked to BDSM. Good God. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder, when you have people that engage in this kind of thing, there's clearly something that they need to do. They got to go to therapy or something in order for them to reclaim their childhood in a healthy, positive way. Because I, and my own two cents on this is, you know, if you were sexually abused as a kid and you need to go back to when you were 3 years old and try and reclaim your childhood, I think what's really happening is you need to face whatever it is that happened to you in your past so that you can move on from this. Because this can't be healthy, can it? I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or anything else, but this just doesn't seem like it can be healthy. The whole idea, she says, is submitting yourself to somebody and giving them the power to be in charge of your well-being. She says, if I am with a partner and I ask them, can I do this or can I wear this today? It's, I don't know, it's all about submission. So if you want to see that, you can. It's on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. And something a little bit more serious. Yesterday, I was talking about Robert Mueller and how he is now zoning in or zeroing in, apparently, on the companies and the corporations of President Donald Trump. And as I told you about yesterday, and this is something that I've been talking about for a long time, the Robert Mueller investigation, the president has said in the past, listen, if you start going after my companies, then that is a red line that I'm not going to allow you to cross. Well, the Trump administration has now pointed out to various news outlets, including the Associated Press, that as a matter of fact, they have been turning over documents for months in response to requests from the special counsel looking into a Russian election interference and possible coordination with Trump associates. And they're saying, we have been turning over whatever it is that they want us to turn over. We've been doing it in due time and very quickly indeed. So for a lot of the media outlets who are trying to make this a big deal, and I thought it was a big deal yesterday when I saw it, the Trump administration is clarifying, well, this is, for us, business as usual. Now, why they felt like they needed to get a subpoena is a whole nother conversation. I will get into that and a whole lot more straight ahead on WTN. 256 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandis Show. Yeah, Chase sends me a note, Dan at 99.7WTN.com. Hey, Dan. Yeah, I saw the story of that 18-year-old that likes to regress back to a 3-year-old on your Facebook page. Heard you just talk about it on the radio about the woman who dresses and acts like a baby. He says, well, I'm here to tell you that there are indeed crazy people like that on Tinder and other online dating sites. I have the same bad luck you mentioned. Have a great weekend. Very funny. You know, I didn't even get to this darn story, and I wanted to do it. I'm obviously not going to be able to get to it because Phil Valentine is coming up at 3:06 here on WTN. But I meant to do the story about folks who voted for President Trump. And we've seen this kind of story before, and about how now the especially in Washington, D.C., how people who voted for President Trump, they're having a hard time on sites like Tinder and some of these other places because they're just considered lesser than because they voted for President Trump. And so now there are Trump-specific dating sites that are spreading all over social media. So look for that in case you're so inclined. Nancy Pelosi is slamming California ICE raids as, quote, unjust and cruel. And made an outcry over the mayor's tip-off to immigrants. I've been talking about this all week. Now, the very latest is there is yet another person whose child was killed by one of these illegal immigrants in the Bay Area that does want to see Libby Schaaf, the Oakland mayor, jailed for tipping off all of those illegal immigrants a couple of weeks ago. So this is a conversation that is going to continue. Fox News is just coming out with this story. Angel Dad Pelosi would want a wall to the moon if an illegal immigrant hurt her family. Yeah. And that's the whole point, isn't it? A lot of these folks like Nancy Pelosi and Libby Schaaf and others, what would they do if their families were affected negatively by an illegal immigrant? Would they still have the same stance? And so we have all those stories and more on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. I will see you next Wednesday. Monday and Tuesday, I'm off. Pamela and Doogie filling in for me. Have a great one. We'll see you next time on WTN.